With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Welcome everyone to the Managing Madrid podcast. This is Keon Sobani. Before we get to today's Mallorca preview with Jose Perez, just wanted to bring your attention to managingmadrid.com for a couple things. One is that it's Luka Modric's birthday. So I woke up this morning and I was like, I should write something. I like to write something every day if I can, even if it's something small. And I was contemplating about Modric, but I wasn't sure. And then I realized it was Modric's birthday. So it was easy. I was like, that's fate. I'll write about him. So over on managingmadrid.com, I put together three clips from the Celtic game, which I thought were underrated, that Luka Modric did. And that's on the website. And also an exclusive interview with Real Madrid legend Uli Stelica. He told me stories about Santiago Bernabeu yesterday. Who, of course, signed Stelica as one of his last ever signings before he passed away. Some politics in the 1981 European Cup final versus Liverpool. Memories from a Clásico. His connection with Vicente del Bosque and Juanito and Camacho and more. So go check that out. That's also pinned on the website in addition to all the other news. And let's get to today's podcast with Jose. Here we go. And get started, as always, with Ray Hudson and Derek Ray.
Nice article in the Managing Madrid blog. Wonderful lads that do a great job there. And worth reading about that man there. Karim Benzema needs to rest, and the numbers reveal why.
Times ended up almost looking like a 6-3-1. Some very good writing about that on the Managing Madrid website. Frustrate podcast as well. Of course, Pere Valverde was a huge part of the equation.
Hello and welcome to the Managing Madrid podcast. I'm your host, Keon Sobani. It is Friday, which means it is time to preview Real Madrid's upcoming opponent on the weekend. And because there hasn't been crazy news today or anything we need to talk about or any Champions League group stage draws or whatever, we actually get to focus on the upcoming opponent, which is Mallorca. So first of all, I would like to welcome Jose Perez to the show. Jose, how are you?
Hey, Kian. Hello, everyone. As usual, thanks for having me. And always fun to be talking about the next opponent. Well, it's Mallorca, so might not be as fun, but we'll get to
average,
it.
Maybe. Average. You know, it's not quite the Barca, Atletico. It's not even tier B like Sevilla Betis, but it's kind of like average. It's like mid-table. So let's talk about Mallorca. 11th place Mallorca have actually had a pretty solid defense, haven't scored many goals, but they're just kind of in the middle of the pack there. And what can you tell us about Javier Aguirre's Mallorca, Jose?
So Javier Aguirre is not exactly someone who is known for expansive playing teams. So it is a bit of suffer ball here. So this is a team that's going to play something of 5-3-2. So what they've been doing this season is that 5-3-2, although a lot of the time it's looking almost like a 5-diamond one, where the tip of the diamond is Kang Ing Lee. And again, it's a pretty defensive setup. It will, the defensive block tends to be vary a bit of height, like against Girona, for example. That's a team that's closer to their level. They were more willing to press, but of course, against Real Madrid, they're going to go for the deep block for sure. And then just, and then he doesn't look that much for much possession structure, but rather just to go out quickly on the counter. And they have the players for that because they have some decent wingbacks, Jaume Costa, ex Villarreal, and Pablo Maffeo on the right wing, so they can go out quickly there. They have midfielders who I would say more than creative, they're just like more kind of box to boxy type. So Dani Rodriguez and Antonio Sanchez are more that kind of midfielder. And then most important, but the most important part about what Mallorca is doing right now is the front two who are starting the season well, which is Vedran Muriqi, the Kosovan striker, and Kang Ing Lee, who is also starting pretty well. I mean, with Kang Ing Lee, the talent has always been there. What hasn't been there is the consistency. So it's another year of seeing, will he be able to play well week in, week out, at least his first four match days? It's starting pretty well. So right now, Mallorca has done pretty well in those first four games because of that, because Muriqi is doing his thing, being the big man in the box, being the big man that takes in whatever melons they throw at him from the back, and because Kang Ing Lee is doing a great job at putting in those passes in behind.
Very interesting analysis. So, like, everything you said was, I guess, interesting, because I think it's a really good summary of Mallorca. And coming from someone, I haven't watched them as much this season. I think I've caught one of their four games, and that was the game against Girona, where I was really tuning in to watch Miguel and Reyne Jesus. And So what I remember about Mallorca last season is they're not like, if I had a list of teams, of like a ranking of La Liga teams that are like, oh, I can't wait to watch this team, they're not that high up on the list, you know? They're not that fun to watch. As you said, Javier Aguirre's tactics, they are what they are. Sometimes Aguirre ball can be interesting. It really highly depends, but maybe how much talent he has or whatever. But this particular team, as you said, it's a bit more like, you know, box-to-box style midfielders. They'll go into a low block against us. Again, to be fair, I think they've only conceded 3 goals in their 4 games, so their defense has held up pretty well. They have solid wingbacks. Jaume Costa, obviously a seasoned veteran in La Liga. Pablo Maffeo, who has probably not lived up necessarily to the hype initially.
Yep.
After that, remember that famous game where Messi's asking about him because he's man-marking Messi, and everyone thinks now the thing to do is man-mark Messi. And maybe hasn't necessarily lived up to that, but he's solid. Kang Ing Lee, yep. Jose, the Valence one we were playing with, against him when he was with Valencia, he always has this knack for just doing one absolutely psychotic, crazy, violent play. Like, I wonder if that's going to come in at any point during this game if he gets frustrated against us. And Muriqi, as you mentioned, I would put him as like, okay, that guy's actually kind of fun to watch. He's won the most aerials of anyone in La Liga. I think it's 24, something like that. No one else has won more aerials than him. And when you watch him play, you will understand why. He is just an absolute tower. You just cross it into him and he just leaps up and he can get onto any header. So that's one thing I'd be wary about. If you see like maybe Alaba running into him, man marking him on a cross or a set piece or a corner, you know what I mean? So that's something I would pinpoint. And I'm curious to know what else would you pinpoint in terms of key matchups? Or maybe you can elaborate on that one.
So as far as key matchups, I think there are, there are 3 things that really stand out right now. Like, first of all, is how is Real Madrid planning to occupy Mallorca's box? Because here's the thing, like, these guys defend with 3 center backs. They're going to try to pack in the box as much as possible. And this time around, Real Madrid is playing without Benzema. So you have Real Madrid without their key player in going into the box against the team that loads up the box a lot. So what Real Madrid needs to aim for here is to avoid another case of Real Madrid versus deep block, where you pass the ball around without really producing anything because you don't have enough people in the box. So it'll be interesting to see how they handle that occupation in the box. If Hazard is the one who plays, then I think there's an argument for Hazard playing like a bit deeper while you give the duties of Ocus, while say Rodrigo and Vinicius have maybe less creative duties and are more focused and more aggressive about attacking the box. Definitely, like, this would be a nice game to play it with, say, Rodrigo, Vinicius and Valverde coming in from behind, because then you're going to be more aggressive about occupying the box, because Real Madrid is going to need those numbers in the box. So that would be a good game to have, like, those three going into the box while Hazard tries to do something creative, like right outside the box. So that could be a good way to break them down. That's one thing. The other area that's dangerous will be, as usual, the back of Real Madrid's pressing line, the back of the midfield line. It's trying to avoid those situations where, there's a lot of space around Tchouaméni, and then a guy like Kangin Lee can receive the ball, run into, and then, like, run, say, 20 meters forward, and then put, like, a defense-splitting pass. That's a situation that you also want to avoid. Like, Kangin Lee receiving behind Real Madrid's midfield line with a lot of space. Because he really, like, he might not be the most consistent, but when he's on his day, this guy is one of the most talented final passers in the league. So it's, you don't want to give him that space, like those, like, 10, 20 meters of space to run and put in a pass. And then the other thing, yes, will be the duel between Muriqi. And in this case, it'll be surely Rüdiger and Alaba. It'll be interesting to see, because if you're Muriqi, then you go for Alaba. You go for the duel with Alaba instead of the duel with Rüdiger, because that's the more winnable duel. So it'll be interesting to see how Real Madrid handle that, and who ends up getting, like, who gets paired up with him. Because obviously, if you're Real Madrid, you want to pair up Rüdiger with him.
Yeah, that's something I'm interested in seeing, because this is what we'll see this weekend on Sunday, is the backline I'm most interested to see on a consistent basis, that is Rüdiger, Alaba, and Mendy. I'm not sure if Carvajal will play. He might get rested in a game like this. Mm-hmm. There's reports of moderate to heavy rotations. Obviously, there's two by default because Militao and Benzema are injured. Then you could get Modric getting a rest. I mean, he played a lot of minutes against Celtic, and that was an energy-draining match. So yeah. I think you'll see scheduled rests like that. I also want to ask you in terms of low block, because you did mention something interesting about Hazard maybe dropping deeper and not, you know, attacking the box necessarily. Do you see that as an opportunity for, if that were to be the case, for Tchouaméni and Camavinga to get into the box? And do you think that is a way that might disrupt Mallorca a little bit and provide targets for Hazard? Or do you see something similar to what Tchouaméni did against Celta, I think it was, where he made that through ball to Vinicius when he was a little bit higher up the pitch? So how do you see that playing out?
So I think in this one, where I think will happen, and in the end, Kroos and Modric end up being rested ahead of the Champions League game midweek, then, like, I'm assuming that there's a good chance that we're going to get Camavinga, Tchouaméni, Valverde as the starting midfield trio. And if that's the case, then we are going to see Tchouaméni, I think, playing deeper and him being more in charge of the build-up from deep. He can, I think, when Kroos and Modric play, then he has more room to go forward. I don't think we're going to see that this time around. So I think going forward is going to be more of a duty for Camavinga and especially Valverde for this particular case. Yeah.
One of the common questions, I mean, all these preview podcasts we do is, we often ask, okay, so against this team, is it better to have Rodrigo or Fede and stuff like that? So in this particular game, as in many games, there's going to be a low block. One of the questions, I think it was a Thursday, or maybe it was the game after, it was the night of the Celtic game. I can't remember. I think it was the Thursday mailbag. A couple people had asked, in games like this, does Fede need to play right wing? Or is it better to have Rodrigo because he's more of like the guy who will dribble at players. He'll take players on, try to break lines a little bit in a different way. Where are you on that? What do you think is best in a game like this?
So, I mean, from an attacking perspective, I would say almost always having Rodrigo on the right wing will be a better thing. There are, of course, situations like if you're playing more on the counter against a big team, like, you know, the Liverpool final goal, then in those situations, one could argue that maybe Valverde is the better fit. But generally, Rodrigo is a better solution in the attack to Valverde. The main reason we choose Fede for right wing is the more defensive pressing intensity aspects. I think, for example, Fede was a good choice against Celtic more from a defensive and intensity perspective, because Celtic were a really intense team, and it kind of made sense to have him there more pressing on the front line, or trying to help the right back, say, with defensive duty. So from my perspective, Fede always makes more sense from defense. Now, the other thing that's really interesting about Fede, and journalist Miguel Quintana was mentioning it this week, it always feels like he, as everyone else gets tired in the game, he doesn't. So it's almost always like the first 60 minutes of Fede are like, okay. But he really starts getting dominant like in the final half hour of the game, where everyone else is tired, but he still has the legs. And that's really when his impact really starts showing.
Yeah, there's a second wind, I think, that comes with it when you see all those things happening and then you see him still sprinting around. It's the energy is amazing. I guess my last question for you would be this. If you're a Aguirre or a Mallorca fan trying to take hope from this, because if you look at every piece of evidence, Real Madrid's strength, Real Madrid's domination this season, the fact that they're generating nearly 3 XG a game, the fact that they basically won every single home game since God knows when, Mallorca have not won at the Bernabeu, I think, for a few years. Then you have the fact that Real Madrid do concede pretty much a goal a game. So maybe it's something realistic here is like maybe they win 3-1, 2-1, 4-1, something like that. I don't know. But if you're Mallorca and you're looking at this, what is their path to providing an upset?
It's going to be, in the end, like from a tactical or say midfield, like from a perspective of like control tactics, midfield areas, there's really no way for them to do it. It's going to boil, like if they want to like do an upset, it's really going to boil down to efficiency in the boxes. You have to find a way to be more efficient than Real Madrid in the boxes, which right now is insanely hard. So but that's what they're going to have to fit. Like it's the way they pull off an offset is if Real Madrid attackers have a bad day in terms of finishing, and if their attackers have a good day in terms of finishing. And by the way, their keeper. So I think one of the biggest upgrades for Mallorca this season, and it really it's the thing that could bring them, could really save them from relegation, is the hiring of goalkeeper Predrag Rajkovic from Liga. Yeah. He had this period like 2 years ago where he was really like one of the best shot stoppers in Liga. Then he had a bit of a slump, but in general he's quite good, and it's been a significant upgrade for Mallorca. And I think an upset from Mallorca would require a really good night for him. That's one of the key things.
He has a 100% save percentage in La Liga so far during these four games. So
nice.
He's been pretty important for sure. Yeah, and so, hey, like that's not out of the realm of possibility. Ex goalkeeper has absolute masterclass against Real Madrid. That's something that happens every week, I find. So it's definitely on the cards. So yeah,
it's definitely on the cards. Mallorca are interesting because they right now they are, of course, not like a very control-y or dominant team, but they're actually starting pretty strongly in the boxes, with Rajkovic defending his box, with the three center backs, and then with Muriqi and Kang In Lee on the other side. So they're being pretty efficient. So we'll see. The thing is that, of course, these days, to try to be more efficient than what Real Madrid is it's a tough job. Like,
margin of error is very small.
Yes. Like, as far right now, it is, I mean, we got to say, like, Real Madrid has had a more solid start than what I thought, imagined they would have. Like, I thought this team would have a slower start and even more with Casemiro's departure. But I mean, right now, they went into cruise speed quite quickly, and the team is playing very naturally, very quickly. Like, something that surprised me a lot was the Celtic game, because I really thought that this team was going to have like less possession and less control. And it went really well, and the players found solutions to Celtic's pressing. Like, after the first half hour, they started finding solutions. And I mention all this because right now, like, I think the players at Real Madrid are in a pretty, pretty good state of confidence. And it really shows. And it has really shown when they played on the pitch in this beginning of the season.
I think we're underrated, as weird as that sounds. I don't know. I feel like, which is a good place to be in. I'd rather be underrated than overrated. You know, I'd rather, like Ancelotti said it the other day when someone asked him, like, you're, I think it was fifth or maybe sixth in the bookmaker odds for the Champions League. And he's like, that's where we would like to be anyway. When no one talks about us, that's a good thing. So,
I think the 538 model hasn't learned the lesson yet. Like, I think we're still rated close to Ajax level as a Champions League favorites. And it's like,
it's an algorithm, right? I mean, they should add in their algorithm something that like hacks it with, if it's Real Madrid, it should just add something. Yeah. But at the same time, I think it's good for us to, I think it suits us to not be talked about, because it gives us the chip on the shoulders, you know?
So I'm looking at this. Hey, Real Madrid, let's see. So what are the, to make probabilities to win? It's Bayern 23. Oh, chance of finishing. Yeah.
Fifth?
Yeah, fourth, actually. So that's better. That's better than expected. But that being said, it's like Bayern 23%, Manchester City 20%. PSG 15%, then it's Real Madrid 7%, Ajax 5%. We're still closer to Ajax than to the other ones, which is a good place to be in. I agree.
It could change if let's say, I don't see it happening, but let's say if we come second in the group and a bunch of teams play amazing and then they come first in their group, I think naturally we'll actually drop down the list, which is kind of what last year we really weren't playing well in the group stages. So there was some truth to us not being even in the conversation. Like, you know, as hard as it is to believe, before, like, especially up until that PSG first leg, when that ended, it was not a hot take to say Real Madrid have no chance of winning the Champions League. I mean, I wrote about why that's not true, but you weren't out of your mind if you were to say that at that time. But so again, things can switch and flip all the time in football.
Yeah, and well, Liverpool, and of course Liverpool has dropped quite quickly in the last 2 weeks for clear reasons. And who knows, like, things, they might shoot back up depending on whether they can recover or not, but it'll be interesting. Right now, like, I am surprised with this start for Real Madrid, because like, this team usually has slow starts to the season. So it is quite nice to see them start like this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, 100%. All right, Jose, we got to wrap it up here. So thank you. Listeners, we'll be back on Sunday after the game. So catch us over there. And want to thank you, Jose, again. Appreciate your time. Your scouting report is invaluable as usual. And we'll chat soon. Thanks, buddy. Take care.
Thanks, Kian. Thanks, everyone, for listening. And see you around.
All right, before we wrap it up, wanted to give a quick shout out to our patrons over on patreon.com/managingmadrid, where a bunch of people get a ton of exclusive content. So go over there and join the Real Madrid family. Also wanted to give a shout out to our $10 plus patrons, who not only get guaranteed responses to their questions, but also get a specific shout out on the podcast. So shout out to Brandon Alvarez, Willie Reed, Will Sousa, Wei Pering, Wamik Jamal, Tyler Simon, Tyler Dixon, Tobias Arroyo-Botcher, Tarek Goktas, Taleb Salhab, Tahmid Kalam, Sushank Damala, Sujai Wani, Somanchu Singh, Sherry Soriol, Sheikh Hatiri, Shamil Shabazz Sharapov, Sergio Arispe, Santos Solorzano, Samuli Justin, Samer Z, Said Mahad, Sai Mohan, Sasi Kumar, Rodrigo Balmaceda, Rishi D, Phoenix, Peter Powell, Paulo Fierro, Patrick Odiafati, Oscar Barrera, Nico Laxo, Nicholas Zapatero Zubiare, Nicholas Mulder, Nick Ribeiro, MJ Diego, Mowgli, Nelson Masariego, Michael Zinberg, Marin Myrtle, Matthew Atkins, Martin Ridman, Magnus Lext, Logan Stahl, Leon Savernakis, Kunal Tilakar, Crystal Glass, Kevin Rivera, Jose Cruz, John Fernandez, Jeff Thurston, Jason Fitz, Ian Marley, Graham Gerard, Gary Kohut, Frederick Antakiro, Frederick Sundros, Faisal Hamdan, S.A. Davisito, Eloy Enriquez, Edward Sossman, Daniel Williams, Khan P., Christian Toft, Christian Acosta, Charles Williams, Brendan Powers, Brandon Stevens, Ashik Pashar, Armand Gashi, Armando L., Antons Rudenko, Anirudh Singh, Ananya Kumar, Alex Thyberg, Al Azaz Hussein, Adrian Rios, Adarza Lukovic, Bella Chow, Varun Ramtin, Mahrur, Fabian Moreno, and Daniel Smith. Legends, love you all. Thank you. And until next time, Hala Marir.
Sports Social Podcast Network.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.